Get ready for your eyes to be open today. Amen. We are living in a prophetic hour. Within 24 hours, everything is going to shift. It's going to shift for the church. It's going to shift for the world. It's going to shift for heaven. It's going to shift for Israel.
Father, we praise you, Lord God. We lift you up, Lord God. We rejoice for the God that we serve is dunamis power, Lord God. We thank you, Father. Right now I speak blessing over the offering. Father, we speak your dunamis power to bring forth supernatural increase, that it would go forth, Father God, to do your will here on the earth as it is in heaven. Father God, I thank you for the provision. I thank you for the breakthrough. I thank you for the angels, Father God, that are circling all around us, Father God. I lift up to you every family member in this place, in the spirit, in their hearts, who are here naturally. Lord, we speak supernatural blessings. We break off all debt, all poverty, all lack, all need, all destruction. In Jesus' name, no longer are we underneath, but now we are above, Father God. We thank you because you are elevating this church. You are taking us up higher and higher because you have given us feet like hinds feet to ascend the holy hill of the Lord. And Lord, we decree it this day, Father God, supernatural increase in every area of our life, Father God. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Ah, good job. Praise God. Amen. I hear the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me this morning on the way over here. He says, make room. Everyone say, make room. Make room. Okay, go ahead, guys. Pass this out. Pass out. You're getting notes today. Now listen. It doesn't matter if you look at them. These notes are in a mystery. They're in a mystery. I say these notes are in a mystery. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Keep your hands raised if you don't have the notes. Listen, I want you to know first, not a political message. It is a heavenly. You need to know what's happening in the heavenlies, regardless of your political party. It has nothing to do with political parties right now. This has everything to do with what's going on with Israel right now. Now listen, it's very important that I know sometime you look at this because you see Trump on there and a lot of people don't like Trump and a lot of people like him. So I need you to understand, and if you happen to have a dislike for him, I don't want you not to hear what I'm going to say because of your maybe opinion towards him. Because this has everything to do with biblical prophecy. It has everything to do with the church age we're about to enter into. Amen. Give the Lord glory. It's everything to do with this house. I've been saying, and I've said this for several years now, I saw before the elections began, I very rarely, you know me, I stay pretty much word, word, word. I never go in the political realm very much. But I saw even before the elections began that God was going to anoint this man. And but what he spoke to me, he said he's going to be a Cyrus. God told me he's going to be a Cyrus. And that generation, you have to understand something about Cyrus. You can go to Isaiah 45. I'm going to give you a little background. When Cyrus went into Babylon, God prophesied to Isaiah that he was going to raise this man up, Cyrus. And he was going to take down the whole Babylonian system. One man. It was utterly unheard of. Babylon was the greatest nation then on the earth. The walls of Babylon, they used to have chariot races on the top of the walls. Because they were very wide, and they would do that to taunt their enemies. And they always believed in themselves that they could never be breached. And their pride is what utterly became their downfall. And God anointed this man Cyrus, and he told and foretold that he was going to come in and take the entire Babylonian system down. Say down. It was actually a major shift in history. It became the Persian Media Empire after the Babylonian Empire. He did this with this man, Cyrus. And what it did, when Cyrus came into office, once he did, God had such favor. He didn't really know the Lord because he was a heathen king, but God knew him. Amen? God knew him. Listen, sometimes God will call people that don't know him. They don't act like you do. They don't talk like you do. They don't talk, act, or anything because they don't know him the way you do. But God anoints them for a purpose in time. Amen. And you can't expect certain leaders to be like us and do things like us. Just like Cyrus, he didn't know the Lord. But he came to know the Lord because he realized that God gave him Babylon. And God put such a favor on him. He says, you're going to build me a house, Cyrus. Imagine that. Amen. Cyrus releases the he takes Babylon down. He releases the children of Israel after 70 years. Say 70 years. To the very day. It wasn't 70 years in one day. It was 70 years exactly. He releases them out of captivity. And he sends them by their king, which he called governor, which his name was Zerubbabel. He was in the lineage of the kings of Judah. But they wouldn't let him call himself a king because they were still under the Persian Media Empire. So they called him a governor. Amen. And they sent him out with Zerubbabel, and they sent him out with Joshua, the high priest. Thus, it was a king, priest, government, and they led out 42,000 exiles out of Babylon back to Jerusalem. And Cyrus, on that 70th year, acknowledged that Jerusalem was the capital for Israel. And he sent them to build a house. Amen. Send them to build a house. And Israel has always honored Cyrus for doing that. And just so happened this last week that I saw this little coin being moved around all the media stations. And I kept seeing Trump's picture and Cyrus' picture on the coin. And it was a coin that the Sanhedrin in Israel has created in honor of what's happening right now, which is actually going to happen tomorrow, by the way. Tomorrow, the United States, let me give you a little history there before I get into all the prophetic ramifications of what's about to shift. I said that generation, when they released Zerubbabel, when they released Joshua to go build the temple, there was prophecies given to them that were never fulfilled. Say prophecies. Like Haggai chapter 2 that's in your notes. Once again, I'll shake the heavens and the earth, the sea and dry lands, and the treasures of all nations will come into my house. And in my house I will give glory, for the silver is mine, the gold is mine, saith the Lord. And the glory of this latter-day house will be greater than the former. Haggai, Zechariah, they were prophets with Zerubbabel and Joshua. They were there to stir them up. And they gave them this prophecy, said, the glory of this latter-day house that you're building. See, Zerubbabel was given the mandate. Say the mandate. To build the house of God. And they encountered a massive amount of resistance. Always going to get resistance. And so he sent the prophets to stir, to help, to undergird. And they began to stir. And it was prophets, kings, and priests all working together. Say together. And he gave them this prophecy. The glory of the latter-day house you're building will be greater than the former. It never happened. In fact, the old men that came from Babylon began to weep. Because they saw the former temple before Nebuchadnezzar had leveled it. They saw and said, this looks nothing like what we knew before. It never happened. Say, it never happened. Speaking of another day, that whole generation was a prophetic generation. From Joshua to Zerubbabel to the golden lampstand of Zechariah 4 to the priest, the high priest being enthroned on a king's throne and wealth of Babylon coming out being forged for a crown. They put a priest on a king's throne. They crowned the priesthood. None of this ever happened. They never came into their fullness because the whole generation was prophetic for another generation. What happened when God put this man? I kept saying, this is the Cyrus. He's the Cyrus that's going to unlock this stuff. Well, I start seeing this coin. Look at that coin. Cyrus, Trump. Look at this. To fulfill. 70 years. Look at the lampstand. On the backside of that coin is a temple. You have to understand what's going on here. Let's fast forward to where we are right now. Israel, 1948, Israel declares its independence. There is a prophecy that's going to begin tomorrow. a major prophecy. On May 14th, 1948, as the Jews of Palestine declared the establishment of a Jewish state called Israel, U.S. President Truman granted immediate recognition on behalf of the United States, becoming the first head of state to do so. Tomorrow is May 14th, exactly 70 years later. In 1980, Israel declared Jerusalem as their capital, but nobody would touch that. No nation would touch it. Even our presidents, they would all talk, but they would never do it. Because they were always negotiating that peace, and they didn't want to offend the Palestinians. They didn't want to offend the Arabs there. They didn't want to offend them. So they just kept embassy in Tel Aviv. And they made Tel Aviv the capital. And that whole world said, no, Tel Aviv's your capital. They were ordering Tel Aviv to be the capital. And God said, no, Jerusalem's the capital. Because you have to understand something about Jews. Once they get their capital, they get their temple. It's all about them building their temple. They are going to build a temple there. But what's happening in the natural, there is a prophetic underlying happening in the spiritual for the church. It's going to mirror what's happening. Amen? And it's going to begin tomorrow. On exactly 70 years, the U.S., I mean, it took some serious, serious boldness. Because nobody wanted to touch this for him to do this. I mean, why do you think you have to understand for him to do this, the political ramification to do this for the world? I mean, the UN hates Israel. They hate them. For Trump to say, we as the United States formally acknowledge Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. Tomorrow, that's going to happen. And we are setting our embassy there. You know what Israel hears? You are formally acknowledging our right to build the temple again. That's what they hear. That's what they see. That's what they're going to do. Everyone say amen. That acknowledgement that takes place exactly 70 years was prophetic for that Cyrus generation when he released them exactly 70 years to go what? To Jerusalem and build that temple. They are going to build that temple. And when they got their embassy, they received the right to build their temple. That is what they're doing. Preparing spiritually, ritually, and educationally for the temple services. They're about to prepare a priesthood for that temple. They're going to prepare sacrifices and the world's going to hate them for it. That temple, by the way, is the very temple the Antichrist is going to walk into 3.5 years into the tribulation period and declare himself God. That's how close we are. But something's going to happen before all that. Have no fear, for God is here. What people don't understand prophetically, when God began to take me in the book of Revelation and take me through Zechariah, this whole generation, this prophetic generation, he goes, there's a prophetic generation you're living in. Where there's going to be a king, priest, government that's going to fulfill what was begun, that never fulfilled then, I'm going to fulfill my purposes with my church. See, God has a plan for his church before all this happens. And see, as soon as this begins, there's also the 70-year prophecy that are going to be fulfilled. So I want to talk about three major things that's on this coin. Cyrus, 70 years, and that lamp. How many of you heard me talk about the lampstand? Raise your hand. If you haven't, I have a full series on this. I highly encourage you to go listen to the whole thing. It's deep, it's wide, it's what's about to happen, and it's all going to begin. There is a reason why they put that lamp over their heads. I know that that's the lamp, but that's one of their national symbols, but that guy had no idea all the stuff he's putting on that coin. 70 years, Cyrus, Trump, the whole thing, because it's going to release what I call the Cyrus generation. We're going to fulfill what Zerubbabel and Joshua and Zechariah and Haggai did not fulfill. How'd you like to be a generation to have those prophecies and never fulfilled because the whole thing was for another day? Amen. Isaiah 45, the prophetic journey that's about to unlock tomorrow. All right, Isaiah 45, verse 1. Thus saith the Lord to his anointed, Cyrus, whose right hand I have holden to subdue nations before him. I will loose the loins of kings and open before him the two-leaved gates, and the gates shall not be shut. That's the gates of Babylon. There is called a mystery Babylon also in the book of Revelation. There's a Babylonian system that's alive and well today. And God is about to take that whole Babylonian system down. He's not about, he's already doing it. You understand, tomorrow represents the release from captivity. The 70-year release to go build, all right? To go build. Say, go build. Now notice what he says in verse 3. He goes, verse 2, I'll go before thee and make the crooked places straight. I'll break in pieces the gates of brass and the bars of iron. And I will give thee, I will give thee the treasures of darkness and the hidden riches, hidden riches of secret places. That treasures of darkness, hidden riches, was talking about vaulted wealth that Nebuchadnezzar had laid up in all of his wars that he went, including Israel's wealth, by the way. Including Tyre's well. God anointed at one time Nebuchadnezzar. Anointed him. And he had to anoint him because the children of Israel had got lost in apostasy. And he says, I got to take you and put you under heathen control for 70 years. Because of your idolatry, you've gave me no choice. And he took them out. Nebuchadnezzar, you remember, he came in Israel and he burnt the temple to the ground. But Israel was not his only conquest. Say conquest. There was another place that Nebuchadnezzar went the same time he was taking Israel down. Guess what that place is called? Tyre. That was an island of Tyre. And for the sake of time, I'm just going to give you an overview. All this is found in the Mount Hebron Inheritance series. For the sake of time, I want to just bring you up to where we're at. Amen? So Ezekiel 26 says, aha, the gates of Jerusalem have been broken. Say, been broken. Ezekiel says, let's just read that. It's on your notes. It says, son of man, because of Tyre has said, Ezekiel 26, verse 2, against Jerusalem, aha, she is broken. That was the gates of the people. She's turned unto me, and I shall be replenished, and now she's laid waste. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, I'm against thee, O Tyre, and I'll cause many nations to come up against thee. Verse 5, and you shall be a place for the spreading of fish nets in the midst of the sea. Verse 7, thus saith the Lord God, I will bring upon you, Tyre, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. All right? So here's what's happened. In the Constitution, I actually outline, since the fall of Solomon's day, y'all got to stay with me on this. Everyone look at me and say, stay with me. When Solomon, in his prime, amassed together the entire wealth of the world system, it was first with David, but then with Solomon, all of it came to Jerusalem. All the kings of the earth, all the queens of the earth. Queen of Sheba, remember when she came in, she dropped the $60 million offering. But she said, the spirit, the prosperity, and the wisdom, the likes of I've never seen, I have no spirit left in me. There was no generation like the generation of David and Solomon. Say, no generation. And because of Solomon's idolatry, it said the women turned his heart. I mean, he had enough of them to do that. You know. What is 300 wives, 700 wives, 300 concubines? He was a busy man. But the heathen, those women turned his heart away from God. And God said, your children are going to pay for this, Solomon. All that wealth began after Solomon's day. God cracked that thing. And all that wealth began to be plundered. I listed in the Constitution 8 different international plunderings. That's how much wealth was there. It survived 8 different plunderings. Say 8. Over a 400-year period. But all that wealth just didn't go evaporate somewhere. All that wealth got conglomerated into one place. Say one place. That's what Ezekiel 26, 27, and 28 were prophesying. Aha! You are proud in the fact that the gates of Jerusalem were broken and you were being replenished because all that wealth went to this city called Tyre. Tyre. And then Tyre began to get proud. Why? Because who was ruling over Tyre? There was a natural prince over Tyre, but there was another man called the King of Tyre. Say King of Tyre in Ezekiel 28. Now watch this. Oh, it's a fascinating study. But what, look at your notes. Say, Son of man, take a lamentation upon the King of Tyre. Now, you tell me who you think this is talking about. Say unto him, Thus saith the Lord God, Thou sealest up the sum, full of wisdom, perfect in beauty. You've been in Eden, the garden of God. He was no natural king. Every precious stone was thy covering, sardius, topaz, diamond, beryl, onyx, jasper, sapphire, emerald, and the carbuncle and the gold. The workmanship of thy tabrets, of thy pipes, was prepared in thee in the day that thou was created. Thou art the what? The anointed cherub that covereth. Anybody want to know who this is talking about? That was Satan in his position, Lucifer. He was a worship leader in heaven, the anointed cherub that covered. He was one of God's greatest creations till iniquity, trafficking was found in him, and God cast him out of the mountain God and called him profane. This same Lucifer now sits upon this city, and he calls himself the king of a city. And the way God got me into this originally, Lord, how am I going to do all this today? The way the Lord got me into all this was he said, why would the devil and all his pomp and glory call himself a king of a city they spread fishnets upon when he boasts to be the god of the world system? That's how God introduced me to that series. I'm like, whoa. This was like 20 years ago when he gave me this revelation. So I started studying Tyre, and I started studying when Jerusalem, the fall of Jerusalem, all the plunderings, it's all in this constitution. The whole thing. And all of Solomon's wealth, say all of Solomon's wealth, ended up in Tyre. In Tyre, say Tyre. And who else but the devil himself was reigning over it? It says, I am king of this wealth. I am king of this. I am king of the earth and all of its resources. The devil does nothing of himself. He's always counterfeiting. He's always stealing and then calling it his. He said, I am the God of this world city because I stole it from Adam. I am king of Tyre because I stole it from Jerusalem. That wealth that he was sitting on in Tyre was stolen wealth. But it became a massive merchandising mart of the nations. Isaiah 23 called Tyre the merchandising mart of the nations. Isaiah 27, like an allegory of a ship, and all the different things in the ship is what was being traded. Tyre was a trading center. It was being sent out in the great waters. He goes, but I'm going to break you out of the great waters. God said, I'm going to break you. He says, because of your pride, think you cannot be broken, I will break you. Say, I'll break you. That right there, when the devil created this, I'm giving you some other history behind what's happening. Amen. When the devil created that system, because I will never allow another Solomon international operation to be under control of righteous hands. I will conglomerate the wealth in my trading markets. I'll conglomerate it in my hands, and I will sit as king of the earth and its resources. Because Solomon, during his prime, wiped the whole kingdom of darkness out. All the kings of the earth, the Lord told me what happened with the Queen of Sheba was happening with all the kings. The whole known world was being converted to God. It was wisdom, it was glory, it was wealth, it was just the prophetic, it was kings and priests and the 24-hour priesthood, and everybody wanted to go and see what was going on. It was Shekinah glory was filling the earth. I mean, it was something to behold. Queen of Sheba lost it. She goes, my spirit, I have no more spirit. The Lord said that was happening with everybody. Oh, the devil was taking notes. No generation, no man, God had done this for anybody except for David and Solomon. Massed together and sat them on top of the world's wealth. Solomon at one time was controlling all of the world's wealth in Jerusalem. And that's why the devil conglomerated all that entire. But here God starts prophesying. Say, listen, because you are boasting the fact that Jerusalem lost it, And because you've been set up, I'm going to send my servant. Though he don't know me, he's my servant, Nebuchadnezzar. And I'm going to take you down. Now listen, watch this. Watch this. Are you ready? The same time he was doing that, Nebuchadnezzar was taking all the children of Israel into Babylon. And they like, we've lost our country, we've lost our wealth, we've lost our heritage, we've lost everything. At the same time, all of the wealth of Jerusalem, Nebuchadnezzar just took Tyre down. He takes all that wealth that's in Tyre, and where does he put it? He brings it into Babylon, and he sets it in the foundations of Babylon city and vaulted treasures. So while the children of Israel were in captivity, they were walking on top of their wealth the whole time. They were walking the whole 70 years. They were walking on top of their wealth, and they didn't even know it. God had put their wealth right under their feet. Just because all the wealth is in control of the other hands doesn't mean it's not right under your feet. Isn't that glorious? He didn't tell them it was there. It was there. Say it was there. He said, Cyrus, I'm going to give you treasures, hidden treasures, the darkness and the hidden riches of secret places. You have no idea, Cyrus, what I'm about to give you. There is thousands of years of kingly inheritance sitting in Babylon that's not yours, Cyrus, it's mine. There'll be plenty for you, but what's down there that's got Israel's name on it is mine. I've been watching over it. I took it from Tyre and I put it into Babylon, waiting for my people to get straightened out. Waiting for a prophetic generation. And Cyrus, you're the one that's going to launch that generation. And so Ezra, he calls Ezra, and this is the subscription on that coin right there. See at the bottom, he said, he charged me to build him a house in Jerusalem. That is Ezra. Look at that. Look at your second verse on your notes. This is Ezra, thus saith Cyrus, the king of Persia, the Lord God of heaven has given me all the kingdoms of the earth, and he has charged me to build him a house. And he calls Sheshbazzar, which is Zerubbabel, that was his Babylonian name, and he starts giving him all the gold. And at the end of chapter 1, there was 5,000 different artifacts of gold. He says, take all this back with you. This is all your temples that Nebuchadnezzar stole from you. Take it all back. And fill your temple back up with all of the artifacts. Spoons, basins, bowls, all things. And he put it in charge of Zerubbabel, which his name was Sheshbazzar. I didn't put it on your notes. You can go read it. Some of this stuff you need to go read. Hallelujah. Look at your neighbor and say, read it! In Ezra 1, so he sends it out, right? Sends him out. He anoints Zerubbabel as the prince, the king, the governor, and Joshua. And he sends 42,000 of them out. Now look at chapter 3. Of Ezra. Ooh. Are you with me? Verse 2. So there's a subscription. He charged me to build him a house. Releases at the 70-year mark. And what does he do? Then stood up Joshua, the son of Jehoshaphat, and the brethren, the priests, and Zerubbabel. Okay? These are the guys that stood up. And they're getting everybody ready to go. The build now. Now look at verse 7. They, Zerubbabel and Joshua, gave what? Money. Say money. Unto the masons, the carpenters, for meat, for drink, for oil, and them of Sidon, and them of Tyre, to bring cedar trees from Lebanon to the Sea of Joppa, according to what? The what? The grant. Say the grant. God gave a grant for 42,000 people to supply all their livelihood, to pay for all of their provisions, to hire them all. How would you like a grant and say, God gives you, said, now hire 42,000 people? 42,000 people full time. You do the math. Plus what it costs to build a temple. And Cyrus says, this is your money. Where do you think he got it? From the vaults of Babylon. God said, that's mine. That's mine. That's mine. That's yours over there, but this is mine. This comes from David. This comes from Solomon. Been watching over it for 400 years. been traveling with us, sending it to different nations, but I got it right here in Babylon waiting for you to take the gates down. This is what's happening in our generation. We have another Cyrus that's anointed that's going to open the Babylonian gates, which is Iraq, which is the dinar, and which is any of you that know anything about what's going to happen, it's going to happen. Amen. He sends them with the grant. With a grant to build. Say to build. All right. So you're with me. All right. Now let's go to Isaiah 23. This is also talking about Tyre. The burden of Tyre. Isaiah 23, 1. Verse 3. By the great waters, the seed of Sihor, the harvest of the river is her revenue. She is what? A mart, a trading mart of the nations. She's talking about the one in 26, 27, 28, which the devil, the king of Tyre, was over. Right? Watch this prophecy. Are you ready for this? Ready? Verse 15. And it came to pass, say, in that day. I just marvel that God had somebody create that up there. With all the prophetic imagery that they probably have no clue what all they put in there. And we have all this revelation on what's about to happen. And tomorrow, it's all happening. Amen. It said, it shall come to pass in that day that Tyre shall be forgotten. What? Why? Because Tyre, that's when Nebuchadnezzar came in, took them down. Tyre will be forgotten 70 years. That's the same time the children of Israel were in Babylonian captivity. Say 70 years. What is that coin reflecting? What does it say? To fulfill. Say what? 70 years. To fulfill what? 70 years to the day. Not 70 years in 2 days. 70 years to the date. May 14th. Exactly. You can't make this stuff up. Tyre was forgotten that whole 70 years when Nebuchadnezzar took them down. Now watch this. Before I tell you this prophecy, Tyre never revived, ever. It never came back into its glory. Yet this prophecy said it would. It said Tyre would come back into its glory. It never did. Same with Haggai. It said the silver is mine, the gold by the glory, the latter-day house be greater. That never happened. Why? Because this whole generation was not for them. The prophecies of that generation were for us. Say us and Israel. But the church has this underlying mirroring. It's mirroring everything that's happening right now. See, while Israel starts rebuilding, we're going to finish our temple. They're going to rebuild, but we're finishing. We're going to do what Zerubbabel was supposed to do. It shall come to pass, Tyre shall be gotten for 70 years according to the days of one king. At the end of 70 years, when's 70 years going to end? I've been looking, I promise you, I've been looking for this 70 years. I have been looking for it. I mean, I thought, you know, the turn of Y2K had something to do with 70 years. And I thought, you know, the king dollar 70 years. But each 70 years, I kept thinking was 70 years. I knew something had, there had to be a 70 year period to the date that was going to subscribe this prophecy. And I found it. And it's sitting on that coin. Amen. Take up a harp. Go about the city, thou harlot that has been forgotten. Make sweet melody. Sing many songs. It shall come to pass at the end of 70 years, the same time the children of Israel being released out of Babylon into their home, Jerusalem, that the Lord God would visit Tyre and she would turn to her hire. She'd come back to her former estate and she would commit fornication, financial fornication. Tyre was a trading mart of nations. She would commit financial fornication with all the kingdoms of the world upon the face of the earth. Brand new monetary system. Her merchandise and her hire shall be holiness to the Lord. Say holiness. It shall not be treasured or laid up as before, But her merchandise shall be for them that dwell before the Lord to eat sufficiently and for durable clothing. What's that called? Wealth transference. Now that never happened. But there was another 70 years that God was specifically prophesying of another generation with another Cyrus and the release of a 70-year period, which happens tomorrow, where Jerusalem finally has global recognition as the capital of Israel and the permission to begin to build the temple, which is going to release Zerubbabel and Joshua, and it's also going to start releasing the grant. Say the grant. But it's also something was going on in the global financial markets, which is Tyre. But this time, Tyre was not going to be able to treasure it up under the king of Tyre. God said, this time, after this 70 years expires, when my people get let go, you will release the wealth. It will go before those that dwell before the Lord. That never happened. It's about to happen tomorrow. Marks that day. It marks the beginning of that season. Where God is going to intervene in the global financial mechanism, and He's going to shift the wealth to His people, to His church. And they're going to have their day, which is what? That golden lampstand that's sitting on top of them. Now go to Zechariah 4. Now this is a 20-something teaching, so I'm not going to do it justice in 10 minutes. But Carlos can at his house today. He's having a Mother's Day special. So Carlos will tell you all about it. I have a series called The Golden Lampstand. That's more than the menorah sitting in the temple. That golden lampstand, it was a prophetic word given to the king of the exiles at that time. Zerubbabel. A prophetic word that I was given 28 years ago that took me 28 years to halfway understand. That carried through the fire, through the waters. I was broken. And still broken. But it's still alive and remains. And it keeps expanding every year. And God just recently took it into the book of Revelation where John saw the lamp burning. The two olive trees actually become two people. It's a lamp. In Zechariah 4. With two olive trees. And a bowl. With seven lamps on it. We have an awesome picture in the prayer room. You should go look at it. It's an artist's rendition of this. There's two olive trees. And the Lord spoke to me when He gave me this word 28, 30 years ago. I'm not one of those that knows those dates. He gives me this word. He said, this chapter, get ready for this, is all you need to accomplish the transference of the wealth of the nations that will happen in the last hour. Now you can imagine what I said. How does two olive trees, a lamp and a golden bowl with some golden oil flowing through them, have anything to do with the transference of the wealth of the nations? Right there. Right there. You see that up there? They right there, Tyre, the whole 70 year, it's all embedded in that coin right there. I got five of them on the way. It's all embedded. Isn't that awesome? So watch it. Let's just read this a minute. I know you've heard this a lot. Let's go back into this just a little bit. Verse 6. Then answered Zerubbabel, and he spake unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit. By my Holy Spirit, this is going to get done, but he's going to be called the seven spirits of God in the book of Revelations. It's going to be accomplished by my seven spirits of God. Say, seven spirits of God. Stay with me. Stay with me. All right? It's not going to be accomplished by man. I'm going to do this. I'm going to set my Cyrus in. I'm going to release my people. I'm going to take Tyre down. I'm going to do this by my spirit. Isn't that amazing? Who art thou, great mountain? Before Zerubbabel thou shalt become level ground, and he shall bring forth the headstone. Say headstone. Now, some of your translation will say capstone. The New Living says final stone. Say final stone. It says Zerubbabel is going to bring forth the final stone. This wasn't the foundation. See, the early church built the foundation. Right? This church, you, me, the last day church, all of you by internet, the one, the bridal company God's preparing, they are going to set the final stone in. Zerubbabel never did that because that wasn't talking about a natural temple. It was a spiritual temple made of living stones. Say living stones. He's going to set that stone in. Finish the temple. Isn't that awesome? So the Lord rejoiced to see the foundation has been laid. Hallelujah. But it's also now time to build. When did they build? When they got released at the 70-year mark. When was the wealth released? At the 70-year mark. When did Cyrus give the grant? At the 70-year mark. When did Tyre give up her wealth? At the 70-year mark. When is the 70-year mark for our generation? Tomorrow. Tomorrow, there's a lot of stuff that's going to begin. Say a lot of stuff. That lampstand up there is burning right now. John got caught up into heaven in chapter 4 of Revelation. He says, I'm going to catch you up. I'm going to show you things to come, John. I can't get into this today. You've already been into it. I'm going to show you things that will come hereafter. And he saw seven lamps burning. He saw that actual candlestick in those two olive trees actually become two mantles of two men in the earth. In Revelation chapter 11, he said, these are the two olive trees of Zechariah 4 and the two candlesticks. The candlestick actually become two candlesticks. Two men carrying the mantle of Moses and Elijah will literally walk this earth in these last days. But before they do, the church gets its testimony. That lamp has three phases. The church, the two witnesses, and the 144,000. We get to carry that lamp. Its first phase. John saw it, seven lamps burning. He said, these are the seven spirits of God. In chapter 5, stood a lamb. Say, stood a lamb. Having seven horns, the perfection of kingly authority, and seven eyes. Says, these are the same spirit, seven spirits of God. That what? That what? That what? Read it. It's on your notes. That are sent forth. Say, sent forth into all the earth. God is about to release all of this glory. Say, and tomorrow, prophetically, marks the beginning. And God's confirming it. On secular news stations, he's telling the story up there. He said, I'm telling you the story of what's about to happen. The Cyrus generation is about to release. He's already started this. He's not going to start. He already started it. The people of God are about to come out of Babylonian captivity. God is going to release us to build his final temple. We are the generation that's going to set the headstone in. The final stone of the church will be laid. And it will be glorious. It will be glorious. It will be glorious. Tomorrow sets everything in motion. Tomorrow sets the destiny of this house in motion. Tomorrow sets this very constitution in motion. Tomorrow sets you on a brand new path. It's not something that's going to happen. It's already happening. We formally release tomorrow. God does this down to the day. Prophetically, who does that? Who can tell time like that? To a day of 70 years. Do you know the mathematical uncertainty of doing that? Of prophesying?
prophesying something 3,000 years ago that would happen exact to the day. A new Cyrus, and he would confirm it to the world. We are the church. The kings and priests are going to reign in the earth. That's the church. We're going to reign. We get our day of truly reigning with the early rain and the latter rain together. All the early church had in building the foundation with power, and all the last day church is going to have with power and wealth. In that same chapter of Revelation said, worthy is the Lamb to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. He's about to unload all of it. The seven spirits of God are bringing the seven inheritances down. The Holy Ghost is going to outpour all over again. The latter rain of God begins formally tomorrow. It begins. There's just no two ways about it. God's prophet confirmed it. With global leaders are confirming what God's doing for the church. The king is coming. Father, we carried this lamp. I know what's in that lamp, Father. I know the glory of it. There's seven eyes in this lamp of omniscience. There's seven horns of omnipotent financial dominion. There's seven inheritances in this lamp. There's seven continents in this lamp with seven lamps of continuous dunamis oil flowing. The light, the seven continents of the earth. There's seven pillars of apostolic government. There's seven pillars of wisdom. There's the seven spirits of God. Spirit of glory, wisdom and understanding, counsel and might. Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. This lamp was set over those men's heads on that coin for a reason. It's this day of the lampstand now. It's the day of Zechariah 4. It's the day the final stone will be set. The generation, the Zerubbabel Cyrus generation will set the final stone. We are that generation, Father. We've carried this lamp prophetically. We've carried it in intercession. We've spoken. We've decreed. We've prayed. We prophesied. We fasted. We've been broken. And yet still, here it is. In our heart, in our mouth, in the frontlets of our eyes. Father, tomorrow marks one of the greatest days of this century. It marks one of the greatest days of this house. Even so come, Lord. Even so come according to thy word, Father, let it be done. Let the seven spirits of God release. Out from the throne of God, thy kingdom come into the earth. Thy will be done. Let the wealth transference of the nations begin. Putting power and wealth in the hands of a priesthood. I need to say this. In Zechariah 6, you've heard me say it, but they took that same Joshua. And they put him on a king's throne. Put him in Zerubbabel's place. And three men came out of Babylon with the wealth of Iraq. Babylon. They brought that wealth out, gold and silver, and they melted it, and they forged a crown. And they put a crown upon Joshua's head, and they stuck him on the throne and said, there will be a priesthood. It's not your day, but there will be a priesthood that will be crowned with a kingly crown. This is not for your day, but there's coming a priesthood, a church like no other church. I'm not going to put it in the hand of one Joseph. I'm not going to put it in the hand of one David or one Solomon. I'm going to put it in the hand of a bridal company of people, a whole priesthood called the Church of Philadelphia. And he that has the keys to this house of David, I'm going to grant a crown, and I'm going to open a door, and I'm going to crown my church. And when I do, the kings and priests will reign in the earth. Whew. Listen, people, we are in this prophetic hour now. I cannot, none of us possibly fully understand what's going to happen tomorrow. But we can see things now. We're a part of it. We say, even so, Lord, be it unto us. Our place is about to be identified. Our function as kings and priests and prophets. The Lord on the way here said, make room, son. Make room. For you know not what's about to come upon you. What's going to come upon this house. There are lamp bearers in this house. There are lamp bearers that's going to carry seven torches into seven continents. It's not going to be just about our four no more anymore. That was foundation building. The multitudes don't get down there in the dirt with you. They come when the building starts coming up. The plumb line is in the hand of Zerubbabel. Our King, the Lord Jesus, that's a vertical plumb line. He's about to build this vertical temple straight up into the right hand until the final stone is laid. And then we get lifted out. And that lamp gets passed to two witnesses. They get their day. And then they pass it to 144,000. Understand what's in that lamp above those two men's heads is the final light to humanity. It's humanity's final witness. It's going to have power untold. Wealth untold. Eyewitness untold. I'm going to tell you something. God is going to appear in this house. The Lord Jesus is going to appear. He told me, he said, I'm going to start appearing before my apostolic people. In the last hour, the corporate eyewitness is going to be reestablished. The highest testimony to man with great dunamis power gave the apostles eyewitness testimony of the resurrection. Behold, you shall receive dunamis to be my eyewitnesses in the earth. Father, today, we consecrate ourselves in a brand new way. I just have a feeling grace is going to start ramping up, my friends. Great grace. Great grace. Great grace. Great grace.